We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to Fitzy and Hart on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
You were down 3-0. It seemed like you guys, from what we saw on the court, you seemed a little disconnected. All of a sudden, you come together and you force a game seven. How would you describe the personality of your club?
They're just resilient. I've said it throughout the year, that's one of the best locker rooms I've ever been a part of. It starts with them. They have a togetherness. They have a connectivity. And, they just, at the hardest times, they, stick by each other. And they've done that for a long time. And so credit to them.
What a speech. What a coach. Joe Mazzulla, post-game, game six in Miami after the Celtics' improbable 104-103 win last night. Thank you for tuning in and making Fitzy and Hart on Boston Sports Original, New England Sports Original, the Derek White Appreciation Society, that is WEEI, on Memorial Day Sunday. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number if you would like to join the conversation and talk about how unbelievable that was and all the other elements. We've been taking a 35,000-foot view of things, Andy, just sort of appreciating how improbable, how unlikely, how unbelievable it was. But now we kind of need to start, I guess they not sifting through the wreckage, but now we need to kind of get into the nitty gritty as to how this happened, what it meant, and the details that made it possible. Let's start with Joe Mazzulla. How do you think he handled that game last night? How do you think he handled the end of the game and some confusion as to what was it? The review, did it actually give extra time on the clock with Jimmy Butler's three at the end?
Yeah.
Give me your, like you were saying before the break, like we obviously Mazzulla's going to stick around now and we can't break up the Jays, right? Let's look at the coach first. What was Joe Mazzulla's role and how this played out in the end?
Well, I think the challenge is what got you the time that allowed for the Derek White putback. I think he deserves some credit for that. He, not surprisingly, had the requisite timeouts in his pocket ready to do it. I think he's been competitive as a coach. I don't want to pretend all of a sudden that I think he's the second coming of Red, or that he's suddenly the checkmark goes in Celtics coaching advantage for the game seven matchup. I don't necessarily believe that, because first of all, he drew up a play that I believe what you'd call it is not working. You kind of had to scramble and ad lib, but I'm not saying all inbound plays to a superstar are going to work there. So I think he's been fine. I do think you've put to bed, I don't think the wheels have fallen off like people were talking about, and that he needs to go. I mean, we were having some pretty extreme discussions after game three. I think he's earned the right to come back. And like every NBA coach on the planet, not named Pop or Spoelstra or a couple others, he's on a very short leash. We've seen it this offseason. You can go from titles, coach of the year awards, to out of work within a year, year and a half, 2 years. But I think he has stabilized his reputation and been part of a team that has found a way to stabilize itself. And as much as we mock it, maybe his stuff works with them. Maybe the, what'd you say to him? I love you. Like, remember that early in the year? Was that Jaylen Brown?
Oh, my God. What'd you tell him? I love you.
Like, maybe that stuff resonates. Maybe it works. I don't know. Maybe they roll their eyes. We don't have a real great feel as to where they are. And I know people blew up the Marcus Smart. You know, Joe's been criticized, and justifiably so. And that turned into a hole. Yeah. Maybe that works. I don't know. Sometimes players need to be told they love him. And maybe he does it too often. I don't know. And it rubs us the wrong way with some of his one-word answers and in sort of Popovich wannabe, Belichick wannabe style. But I think he has been a part. You can't, if you blame him for going down 0-3, how does he get no credit for tying it 3-3?
Like, interesting point, Andy, because a 401 texter agrees that they think Mazzulla tries to emulate Belichick.
Oh, no question.
Oh,
I think there's some of that. I definitely think there's some of that. And it's funny because, like, he's got the Cora connection a little bit, and he does nothing like Cora. He has not gone down that road at all. But my large point would be, if we blame him for everything at 0-3, then we got to give him some credit at 3-3.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. I'm not here to tell you Joe Mazzulla has earned every inch, every dollar, every game that is on however long that contract that he signed when he went from interim coach to full-time head coach this year. But we are not giving him enough credit. Like, somebody did something, whether it was that speech from assistant coach Celtics special assistant Matt Reynolds that we discussed for a while yesterday on the show, whether it's Marcus Smart sitting in his chair, whether it's Al Horford stepping in and being the veteran leader the team needed, whatever. Obviously, this was part of their design, the Smart three, and then I'm sure somebody said, okay, and then Derek White, you run in and crash the boards, you and Tate. Like, he's involved in this somehow. He's not just a complete passenger. You know, and the challenge gives them the extra 0.9 seconds. What if Jimmy Butler shoots those with just 2.1 seconds and not three? Derek White's hand touches the ball. I'm watching it now in slow-mo. And no. Derek White's hand here is like, no, Marcus Smart missed. Wait, Tatum near enough. Oh, my gosh, White's there. He touches it with, it leaves his hand with 0.2 seconds left. Joe Mazzulla has to have been involved to a certain degree there. Obviously, you can't just completely discount everything that the man has done as well. Now, are we talking like, Andy, we're not, to the 401 texter's point, emulating Belichick. This isn't, kicking the ball out of the end zone in Denver in 2003, playing defense and then having Brady go on a drive and throw a touchdown to Givens with like 10 seconds left. That was amazing, but you also had incredibly skilled players executing what would be the optimal outcome of that game. It's not that kind of legendary coaching, but he's definitely contributing more net positive than negative. And what did we say earlier during the series? If the Celtics were going to get back in this, Mazzulla had to let the talent rise to the top, and his coaching style needed to be, sure, try to help out, but just don't get in the way.
Right. Just don't lose the game. And he just hasn't lost a game since they were down 3-0. So give him credit for that. Now, long term, you know, if we were having the conversations, does this suddenly mean I think he's the coach of the Boston Celtics for the next 12 years? No. Well, A, because it's the NBA, and those are few and far between when you have coaches last that long. And I do have questions about his coaching style, his leadership, how it'll blend with players over the long term. So it would not stun me if he is not the Celtics coach for a significant period of time. But I think he'll be the Celtics coach next year. And more importantly, he'll be the Celtics coach Monday night at the TD Garden for Game 7 as they try to make history.
Mike is out in Springfield. He would like to talk about Game 7. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Boys, Fitzy and Hart, how's it going? Great game last night, but let's move on past that. That's yesterday's news. Here's what we got to talk about. We need to hand out free beer at the game. We need to give out shots of Fireball at the door. If you're not in diapers, give them a shot of Fireball. And then, you know, give the whole 04 Red Sox team a suite upstairs, put them on TV every 5 seconds, and 18 or 16,000 people, whatever it is, need to wake up to after the game with no voice box. We need crazy, like, just things you've never seen but you've always wanted to see. You know what I mean?
I have a feeling, Mike. And first of all, free beer promotions always end well. So I'm sure.
Yeah.
And free Uber as well.
Sure.
Free Uber.
Yeah, let's just get
it. Wick.
Everyone that's not in the car. Yeah, they're all just charge it to Wick. Charge it to Grossbeck, you know.
Yeah.
Get some steak sandwiches and Bloody Marys and charge them to the Underhills. Charge the whole thing to Wick Grossbeck tomorrow night. Uncle Wick will probably
before,
pick up the check.
Eat after, eat during. Yep.
Absolutely. And, you know, Fireball shots, what could go wrong with those as well? Just ask Buffalo Bills fans. But, yeah, I think we can imagine now 30-some-odd hours out that the environment there tomorrow night is going to be, I think surreal would be a good opening adjective or opening descriptive to describe what it's going to be like. Legendary.
No, I mean, Do we know, as of now, if anyone special that might be there, should be there, can be there, or is that kind of just see what happens when we get there?
Yeah, well, Andy,
in terms of, like, special appearances, you know what I mean?
Johnny Damon tweeted, might just have to make the trip to Boston or something to that
effect.
Dude,
the fact that he was in Miami was great.
Yeah, Johnny Damon last night finally getting his act together. Exactly. It was good to see him. I mean, what do you do? Do you fly Millar up? Do you get the entire team? Are we talking Pedro? Dave Roberts is obviously busy.
Give him floor seats. Give him a loge. Give him whatever you need to do. Put him on TV. Get him drunk and just have a good time. Paul Pierce, KG, whoever you got to do, get them all in there. Have a good time. All the fans, age 0 to 100, get loud and have fun. Thanks for the call, boys.
Hey, thank you for the time. I love it. This is the madness that comes with the improbability of that, Andy. Hey, quick question. Now thinking in terms of like where these things rank and what will it be like if they come through versus what it'll be like if they don't. You know, I made mention obviously of the Miracle on Ice earlier. Does Derek White's play if the Celtics don't come through tomorrow night? Does Derek White's play basically become Pudge's home run in Game 6?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be well remembered for Celtics Nation, but it won't be put on the pedestal that you've talked about, right? Like the Butler, because it's so cliche, but it's so true. The ring is the thing. It don't mean a thing if you ain't got the ring. And that's the other thing. You still get another series. You know, you mentioned the Miracle greatest game. Mm-hmm. You still got to go beat the Nuggets, who are going to be well rested and probably laughing at you guys punching each other in the mouth for 7 games.
Yeah, they could absolutely get their clocks cleaned by Denver, who has had 2 weeks.
They could be swept. Could be swept by Denver, sure. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah, or they could
and that
go
changes
and they could,
our feelings on everything.
Or they might sweep Denver. Who knows? I mean, the 2004 Red Sox went up against a Cardinals team that everybody thought would give them a hell of a series. The Red Sox went through hell to come back from 3-0 down to the Yankees winning 4 straight, and then they absolutely just blast. Well, they didn't. They kind of eviscerated the Rockies in 2007, but in 2004 it was a closer series. Pedro's Game 3, I think that was a 3-1 game. Game 4 was a little more of a done deal as well. But, the historical comps, there's so many to make. But, again, you have to win tomorrow night. That's what it's all about.
857 Texter says to put Kevin Millar in the front row with a Cowboy Up t-shirt on.
And he's embraced it. I mean, he's doing all those videos with Rochi that each time he puts out a new video. I'm sure he'll have a new video on Memorial Day before Game 7. That's what I was thinking. Put him at the put him on both ends of the floor. If the more you can get... Put 6 Red Sox at each end of the floor, so every time they have to shoot a free throw, anything, there's just Red Sox in their face looking at them, telling them about history and how it works.
Callers, we will get to you on the other side, but we got to pay some bills and stay on the clock. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Celtics win. We're talking about it. Happy to have you here on a Memorial Day Sunday, and happy to also get caught up on everything else in sports with Joe Braverman, who's trending now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I don't understand. You said we're up 10. You guys got to win. What the hell? Why do y'all relax with y'all? I mean, because y'all done it all playoffs long. And then you got in the whole 0-3 by doing that. What is it about y'all where y'all just don't say, hey, man, let's just kill these dudes and get it over with?
I guess we just like doing it the hard way, I guess. I'm not sure why we do it. It seems like when we get in those moments, we get a little bit apprehensive and we kind of like get a little bit like we just don't want to be the one to mess up, and it causes you to be the one to mess up. I feel like in those moments, we just got to grow. And in this next game that we got to be better.
Charles Barkley asking one of the many questions on the mind of the Celtics fan.
Oh, great rejoin, Joe Braverman.
Don't mean a thing unless you get that ring. But what, Andy? Fitzy and Hart here on Sunday morning, 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. I forget exactly how we referred to it yesterday. The weird sort of like defeat fetish, or like the, exactly the phrasing.
Front runners with their back against the wall.
Front runners with their back against the wall.
How they play.
The comeback fetish that this team has. Like, it's a weird perversity it almost have. And that's what Barkley was asking him there. Like, you guys are obviously a supremely talented team. Many would argue, maybe the most talented team in the NBA. And yet, they refuse to put people away. In fact, they only respond to these dire, dire needs. It's unbelievable. Like, the analysts, the former players, the fans, the broadcasters, everybody can't figure out why this team only responds when they're on the edge, like when they are standing over the cliff and it seems like disaster or elimination is imminent.
Can I give you two theories?
I'm here. Yeah, please, by all means. A BOGO on theories from Hart. Go for it.
Yep. So the first is the less controversial of the two, and it's the more obvious of the two. It's a maturity issue. It's a simple developmental maturity issue with this team, its roster, its stars, its hierarchy, its makeup, all of that, I think, plays into it. And I think there's something to be said for that. I think that's where you get comparisons to when other star players won their titles and when other teams finally got over the top in their development and maturation process, and it is a process. Mm-hmm. The second is directly tied in, and this is more controversial because it's polarizing, directly tied into Jason Tatum and the way he plays and his own inconsistencies and the maddening comparison between his ridiculous talents and when mm-hmm. he's on, the ability to drain a three and then drive to the hoop and those long arms and just finish and make everything look so damn easy, and then he disappears for a quarter or a half or, you know, kind of goes in the corner. And like that, just that, whatever that is with him, and I guess you could marry the two together as well and say his development and his maturation mm-hmm. is part of that. Like, we've had, how many times have we had the conversation with callers, with each other on various shows and podcasts? Mm-hmm. Does he have the killer instinct? Does he have the Mamba mentality? He doesn't. He never did. He never will. You can't learn that. That's either something you're born with or you don't. Oh, look what Kobe does. Look what Jimmy Butler does. Tatum doesn't do that. And yet, those of us that say that, that are critical of Tatum at times, ignore or maybe diminish when he goes out and he has a wire-to-wire 50 burger in a game 7, right? Like, mm-hmm. you're telling me that's not Mamba mentality or Finnish mentality? But some people use that as a counterpoint to say, why can't he bring that more often, more consistently? And that's a fair question, but I think those are the two options, the maturation of the team as a whole and then the maturation of their superstar who is still maddeningly inconsistent for one of the most talented basketball players on the planet.
We talked on the Breaking Boston podcast and, of course, here on this program about the Jason Tatum breakthrough. I believe it was a breakthrough in Game 6 against Philadelphia when he came alive in the fourth quarter and then was lights out and put on an epic performance, 51 points, in Game 7 to ice the 76ers in a series that many also believed went too long as well. Maybe now the 2004 Red Sox comps are becoming more apt because, yes, I know it's only been 15 years since the last banner was raised in the Garden, as opposed to 86 years between championships for those Red Sox as well and the 2004 idiots. But the unbelievable comeback that team had to go through, like their breakthrough had to be, like they were an incredibly talented team. Look at all the stars that were on that team with Schilling and Pedro and Poppy and Manny and beyond. They had to break through something highly improbable themselves to be able to get onto their championship as well. And maybe this is just how the script goes, as frustrating and maddening as it may be at times. Maybe this is just the way this script plays out, and that, you know, we're supposed to just hang in there for the ride, and there's going to be a lot of lows, and then there will be an ultimate high. Who knows? Just checking out also some of the crazy stats on Derek White. I'm pulling these from our old pal Brian Barrett. In the conference finals, plus 19, best on the team, 21 made threes, most in the series. He's shooting 55% from three. With him on the floor, a 120 offensive rating, a 110 defensive rating, he's a plus 9.2 net, best in the series. Literally, this guy is doing everything for the team. Like, he's, talk about, like, Brad Stevens should be smiling somewhere wherever he's sitting right now, probably having a glass of whole milk and a piece of toast, because acquiring him last season has really been beyond a difference maker at this point.
And I kind of mocked at the time when the reports came out that Brad Stevens and the organization saw him, Derek White, as the final piece or the difference maker for this team. And they didn't win last year, so I guess maybe he was right, maybe he was wrong. We're a year later. It's a different team to some degree. But he's a fun player. He's a key player, and they aren't where they are right now, and that's still playing without Derek White, and not just because of the putback, but everything else that goes into his game and the scoring and the threes and the whole thing. The other thing, talking about statistics, that stood out to me,
yep,
is there a guy who can almost never get away from polarizing debate about him worse than Marcus Smart? He had 21 points. He could have hit the game-winning three.
Yep.
It just rimmed out. It was a good shot. It was fine. Mm-hmm. And you look, and he's a minus 10, a team worst minus 10 for the game. And it's like, which stat do you pick? And there were some turnovers in there early that were hellaciously bad. God, were they bad. So it's like, even when they win, and even when I think he played a role in the win, he's minus 10. He misses a free throw that could have bit him in the ass. It forever will be polarizing, it feels like, with some of the stars on this team. Like, everybody is in a category on Marcus Smart. Sometimes we jump categories like Fourier, but you either love him or hate him, right? He's maddening, or he's the type of player you need for a title. We just had the caller. You know, every championship team would take him. You need him. Jaylen Brown, maddening. He stinks. He's hurt. He can't play. Oh, he's got 26 points. Oh, he's, you know, getting together with Jason Tatum in the locker room. Well, let's keep these guys together. Only idiots would break them up. There's such a polarizing makeup with this team and some of the individual stars that I think that's why it's so fun to watch and fascinating and debate on the radio.
Yeah, but Andy, you mentioned Marcus Smart and the bad turnovers, but some big threes, some nice passes, some good defense, some head-scratching shot selections. This is like the unofficial contract that you sign when you agree to get on the Marcus Smart ride. Like, somebody walks up to you at the park with a clipboard and a disclaimer, and like, there's all this, there's print that's even finer and smaller than when you agree yes to your iTunes account or anything on Apple. So you just sign it and you just say, sure, whatever comes with it, I'm fine with it. That, yeah, this is what you get when you're part of the Marcus Smart ride. It's wild, and he'll save some moments for you, and then he'll also infuriate you. But this has been going on for years. Like, asking this particular leopard to change its stripes at this point would be a fool's errand. Like, it's just not going to happen.
I think
it's
a leopard has spots, actually.
Yes, it does. I'm also,
Germans bombed Pearl Harbor, it was
exactly asking a leopard to change its spots or a tiger to change its stripes. Full disclaimer, everybody. I'm playing pretty banged up today, so.
Wuss. It's the postseason. We're not bitching about our injuries.
I know. I'm in a lot of pain right now, but that's okay.
So drink.
I can't really do that right now. Oh, boy. Yes, I have a full disclosure. I have a celebration injury. I actually, when I was watching the game last night and the Derek White play happened, I jumped up to celebrate, probably like so many other Celtics fans did. And I tore a muscle in my leg. So right now, I'm leg is up. I'm on a heavy dose of anti-inflammatories, and I'm happy to have you guys to help distract me from the pain, which is coursing through my veins, just like my Celtic pride and excitement to talk about Game 6 and get ready for Game 7. 617-779-7937 is the number. Justin's up in New Hampshire. Let's talk Celtics heart, Justin. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys, what's going on? Hey, happy Memorial Day weekend. And before I get into the Celtics, thank you to all the veterans out there.
Absolutely.
Awesome to watch. I've been super critical of this team, and I just want to make a couple points, and then I'll listen to what you guys think. I've always thought they were fundamentally flawed. However, things seem to be coming together kind of nicely, but there were still issues last night. Horford's play at the end of the game was absolutely atrocious. He is lucky that Derek White bailed him out of that situation. There were some other plays. More importantly, though, I think Mazzulla's hit his stride. There was a particular timeout. I think the Celtics were up 62-60 in the third quarter with 7 minutes and 20-something seconds left. Missoula called the timeout there, and I think it changed the whole trajectory of the game, because what had happened up until that point, they were on one of their runs, and I could just see him letting it go, letting it go. He seems to be maturing before our very eyes. And think about how hard it is to win at Miami. Miami was undefeated in the postseason before the Celtics got the last couple games. Last couple of thoughts. In order for them to win Game 7, they've got to control Duncan Robinson, Strus, and Vincent. Those three fringe role players for Miami can make a difference. And then yep. Tatum and Brown need to play a good basketball game together. It can't just be one of them. And I only think they should be thinking about tomorrow night. Any thought of Denver is crazy. I love seeing it. I'm glad they came back, but they've got to get their stuff together to win tomorrow night.
Great call, Justin. Thanks so much for making us part of the holiday weekend as well. Yeah, Andy, who gets the, before we get into what they need to do in Game 7, who is the luckiest Celtic, if you will? Who had the greatest stay of execution last night? Was it Joe Mazzulla? Which, you know, his challenge gets you the 0.9 seconds back on the clock, but also allows them to review it and see that it's a three, not a two, because if it was just a two, maybe Butler just hits the two, and then we go to overtime.
I'm not sure.
Is it Al Horford?
I think that was automatic. I think the review for the three or the two is automatic. The time is not automatic. I think Mazzulla was a pro on that. I think he got what he needed to get with the extra time on the clock, which actually ended up being the difference in the game. So I'm giving him a positive check mark, a check
giving
plus
him the
on
B
that.
Of the D, the benefit of the doubt. Okay.
Yes. I didn't know what that meant for a second, but yes.
I was just kind of, you know, just I was just kinda, like I told you, man, I'm winging it right now. I'm doing everything I can to get to the finish line at 12:55. Maybe it was Mazzulla. Maybe it was Al Horford. Yeah. Again, like he doesn't have to wear the goat tag for wrong kind of goat, not the Tom Brady kind, for the foul in the corner as well. Does Tatum get the stay of execution, if you will, because he went ice cold in the second half and wasn't able to carry his team when they needed him? He was great in the first half, doing all those Jason Tatum things, big shots, using his incredible length and his athletic ability. Really is something else. But, you know, what was he, 1 of 8 in the second half? Like, you can't do that. You can't disappear like that.
It's Al Horford in my mind, because I don't know if you've played this game before. It's never Tatum's fault. No one ever blames Tatum. It's always Brown or Horford or Smart or Mazzulla or somebody else. It's never Tatum's fault. So I'm pretty sure it would not have been Tatum's fault if they had lost last night. Al Horford would have been the poster child for the loss, the foul, looking old, -6, only 4 points. He continues to not hit threes, to not really do anything that's overly productive other than eat up minutes. He played 32 minutes. I think Al Horford would have been seen as the GOAT in this game to end this series. And quite honestly,
or Smart.
Look at Al. What's
or Smart
that?
Even. Or maybe Smart, too, because once again, like, let's go back to, what was it, Game 4 in the Eastern Conference semis against Philadelphia, when all of us thought, really? Your best play at the end of regulation and overtime was a Marcus Smart three? Like, was that really the best shot they could have gotten off last night at the end of regulation? Doesn't matter now, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it would have been Horford that would have gotten the blame for this. Again, never would have been Tatum, because I think you could have blamed Tatum in that scenario as well, and nobody chose to for his lack of urgency and the timing and spacing and pacing of that. So, but I am, unfortunately, like I do this in my head, you know, we're not supposed to, we're focused on Game 7, nothing beyond that matters. If you don't win Game 7, I'm already looking at Al Horford on the court with Jokic, the Joker. I don't know how they're going to defend him. I'm getting the
don't
cart ahead of the horse
you
here.
Do not outkick our emotional Ooh. Coverage. We're Ooh. Not there yet.
Okay, so let's just stick to Game 7, and can we play a game?
I'm always ready to play a game.
A simple game of trust, don't trust. Those are your only options. And welcome to tonight's edition of Trust or Don't Trust, where you reveal your true inner feelings about Celtics players and coaches everywhere. Let's play.
So, all right. Trust,
let's
don't
start
trust.
With the first guy who's been in the crosshairs for the entirety of the season, shined early, got his extension and his full-time tag, almost fell on his face, but has pulled up nicely to pull to 3-3, Joe Mazzulla. Trust or don't trust?
Oh, absolutely do not trust.
You said that with glee.
Oh, I didn't even need a second. Didn't even need it. You know, on
wait,
game shows, so
wait,
what they
he's
do
been better. They're
what they do, Andy, on reality
three.
Shows and on game shows, having had a chance to work on a few, what they do is the segment producers always tell you, like, okay, now when you get asked the question, like, take your time, work it through. Like, we want to hear you go through the different answers. Like, if you know the answer on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire or something,
Right.
Like, they don't just say, like, hey, final answer. Like, they say, like, talk it through, you know, make it, personalize it, whatever. I didn't need a second.
Let's hear your thought process out loud.
Well, I mean, exactly, the guy, he's undefeated in his last three games.
Good point.
He nailed the hell out of a challenge because he had his timeout, and according to at least one caller, changed the entire game with a timeout. So the narrative that he doesn't know when to call timeouts and screws those up, gone. So Joe Mazzulla is on an uptick here. That being said, the host would like to answer the trust or don't trust question, and I don't trust Joe Mazzulla either. Sorry,
all right,
Joe.
Next up on Trust, Don't Trust.
Next up on Trust, Don't Trust is the superstar of your Boston Celtics, the MVP All-NBA candidate who will soon be making $300 million. He's number zero on your roster, but Jaylen number one in your hearts. No. Jason Tatum, trust
Sam
or
Hauser.
Don't trust?
Trust because you have to. Like,
that's an answer.
There are moments when you don't, and you wonder why he's going to wilt or wallflower. And then there are moments when he comes through with amazing game-saving shots, performances, boosts of energy like he just chugged two basketball Red Bulls. But in this particular case, you have to trust him, Andy. You absolutely have to trust him.
Can we clean that up? C4 are the references we make on this show, not the one you mentioned.
I apologize for that. Yes, C4. Two energy drinks provided by our friends at C4.
So trust or don't trust, based on recent history in which he's taken at least one quarter of virtually every basketball game off, either starting slow or failing to finish, I'm still going to go with trust as a Jason Tatum hater. It's a game seven. My last example of a game seven, he kicked ass, took names, and scored a 50-burger. I am going to say Jason Tatum is a showman. Jason Tatum shows up, shows out, and helps lead the team to victory.
And do we have one more trust, don't trust before we get to break?
One more trust, don't trust. Let's go right on down the roster and go with Jaylen Brown, second team All-NBA, Mr. Nearly $300 million soon in the crazy economics of the NBA, maybe battling a wrist injury. It even got grabbed in the game last night, almost had a fight with Kyle Lowry based upon it, but still had 26 points, still was good enough to help them win. Jaylen Brown, trust or don't trust?
Trust.
Yeah, that's the answer. Trust.
And I don't know why.
Because he's a dog. Because he's a dog. And when the season's on the line, he is the closest thing they have to a Jimmy Butler with a combination of talent and fight. So you absolutely should trust and believe in Jaylen Brown going into the potential final game of the season, but it won't be.
I trust his immense talent. I trust also the turn he's taken in the series, because there we were just a few nights ago. Whether it was either one of us switching off in rotation on the Rich Keefe Show, our daily podcast, and beyond, talking about, or rather asking aloud, what in the holy hell has happened to Jaylen Brown? Where has he gone? Why is he only shooting 12% from three? He's averaging only 16 points a game. Last night in 39 minutes, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 26 points, like a real second-team All-NBA, first-team Boston Celtics, big contract type of game. Like, now he doesn't hit the game-winning shot. He wasn't the ultimate difference maker in the game, but his talent is shining through. He is definitely on the uptick. We know he's playing through everything from the elbow that got rolled over in game two to the stitches in his hand from the vase laceration. He's come around. It wouldn't surprise me, Andy. Let me say this. It would not surprise me tomorrow night, the same way Jason Tatum balled out and had the big game seven against Philadelphia in the Eastern Conference semis. It would not surprise me if tomorrow night somehow Jaylen Brown is the one who just takes the energy, if you will, from the Garden crowd, that game seven fever, and channels it into an epic performance. I would actually almost like to see that. I would. I know he's your guy. You know, and I love Derek White, and you always say that I'm a Tatum apologist, like so many others in the bleeding green nation. Jaylen Brown is your guy. I would like to see that for your guy tomorrow night.
You're saying Jaylen would answer his own call to get his energy up?
Yep, you're damn right.
By God, is that Jaylen Brown's music?
And you know what he's going to get? I'm going to take my timeout predictions further. I am going to predict a first half of the first quarter timeout from Spoelstra, and I am going to say it comes after either a Jaylen Brown three or a Jaylen Brown emphatic dunk after a steal. So Jaylen Brown will force a Spoelstra timeout because he will be pushing the momentum to the Celtics side of the court.
All right, I'm going to set the over-under right now. Jaylen Brown points in the first half, 15.5, Andy, over-under.
Over, including double digits in the first quarter.
Wow, I like it. All right, we'll do some more over-unders when we come back. Also, Maddie, Peter, Rick, don't you guys go anywhere. We'll get to your calls as soon as we get back. 617-779-7937. Excellent game of trust, don't trust, over-under, and so much more as we get ready for Game 7.
What do we get?
We'll tell you what you won when you come back to Fitzy and Hart here on WEBI.
We limped into this win, right? I mean, we made a play at the end. Shout out to Derek White from BNO to make that happen. But at the same time, we gave up two wide open threes to Duncan Robinson. Mm-hmm. We fouled Jimmy Butler on a three-point shot. We fouled him again and sent him to the free throw line. Then, conversely, on the flip side of things, offensively, we walked the ball up the court. I felt like we got to the point where we were playing not to lose instead of just playing to win and doing all the things that you did to get that lead. And before you know it, you looked up, you're like, man, now we're down one.
Great point by Eddie House on NBC Sports Boston last night, the postgame show after the Celtics pull out the improbable 104-103. Andy, do we believe that the Celtics got into the play not to lose mode as the game approached its final couple minutes? I remember yelling out loud before, of course, I jumped up from my chair and tore a muscle in my leg for Derek White. I'll always take one for the team. I was sort of saying aloud, I bet a lot of other people were too, like, come on, guys, we're like, you played a certain way to get to this point, to build a lead and to maintain it for the majority of the game. Don't change the way you play. That's the one thing Joe Mazzulla has to figure out of the many things Joe Mazzulla needs to do. That's one of the things he needs to figure out, how to encourage the urgency that the team needs to play with in the end of the game after they have shown that kind of urgency and energy in a game where, quite frankly, they shot like trash. I mean, I read the stat for you earlier in the show. Aside from Marcus Smart and Derek White, the Celtics last night were 0-for-17 from three team-wide.
So you're an advocate for playing the way that got you the lead.
Yes. Dance with the girl you done, brung to the prom. Yes.
So the Atlanta Falcons way.
But you mean, like, was it all throwing the ball for them?
I mean, that's what got them in trouble, is not playing conservatively, is playing the way they got there. I'm going to throw the ball because that's how we got here. Oh, crap. This isn't really working out the way it's supposed to work out for us. And I think that's one of the hardest calls in sports. You get a lead in a huge game, a huge moment. Do you keep playing the way you played, or do you start to play more cautiously? Do you start thinking about clock? Do you start doing the various different things in different sports you can do to try to play it in a conservative way? Prevent defense. Oh, the only thing that prevents is you from winning the game. Like, it's such a tough spot to be in, because you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. If the outcome isn't the way it's supposed to be, you're going to get criticized. Why didn't you slow it down? Oh. Well, you lose because you slowed it down. Why didn't you keep playing the way you're playing? Up-tempo. Like, it's a really... And that's one of those things from a Mazzulla perspective and from a Celtics perspective that I think comes with maturity and experience and situation and feel and the gray areas of the game that aren't reflected in analytics. I really kind of set you up there. I was just kind of having some fun with you with the Falcons thing, but that's it fine. Really is. It's one of the tougher things in sports is knowing how to make that call when you have a lead and how to approach the game in order to give your team the best chance to win it. It's not easy. It's why they make the big bucks.
A regular listener to the program, our friend Alan Siegel at ANMIS at ANMA says, "Hi, Fitzy. The league clarified last night they would have checked whether Butler's feet were inside or outside the arc. This is all they would have checked. However, Mazzulla challenging allowed them to check everything else. While checking the foul, they moved the clock back to three. Turns out the challenge saved the season by giving them more time." So there you go. Listen, big feather in the cap for Joe Mazzulla. You get an extra serving at supper tonight. Back to the phones we go. Andy, Peter's down in Rhode Island with a question about something that Joe Mazzulla did last night. Hello, Peter.
Hi, guys. I want to say a happy holiday to everyone that's given their life of their time to save us all. But I want to talk about last night. I watched the game like everybody else, and I was ready to throw my remote to the TV. You know, I'm on the fence. I was on the fence about Mazzulla. But as far as I'm concerned, last night he put in a terrible Horford when he took out a Robert Williams, who was intimidating the best player on the Miami team. They're looking for rebounds. Why do you take out Williams and put in Horford, who in when we were leading by seven points, we took out Williams, mm-hmm. looking for a rebound, and right. put in Horford, who almost lost the entire game for us. I still don't know, understand Missoula's move. Maybe that's you do. I don't.
Well, there have been some times, and thank you very much for the call, Peter. Appreciate that. There have been times this year, Andy, I think we've joked about it, and you're able to joke about it when you win as many games as they have and yep. have gotten to the spot they have. The famous line is like, Derek White wasn't in at the end of the game, and he was your best player on the court. What was that all about? He's like, I just sort of forgot. How do you forget there's a human being? Yeah, I guess I need to work on that, getting him in the game. Thank God.
Robert Williams is a very tall human being, so it's hard to forget.
He's not an easy one to miss, Joe. He's really not an easy one to miss. Like, he's
a
big
unique
person.
Look, right? Like, he's not forgettable. He doesn't blend into a crowd. I think Robert Williams is a pretty unique-looking dude who mm-hmm. is impactful, electric. This is the one area with Missoula that I still have doubts going back to. Remember the what game? Was that game one where Pritchard played in the first quarter, like he yep. played 12 minutes?
That was game one. Pritchard got minutes, and Grant Williams didn't see the floor at all.
Yeah.
And then he comes in. Grant Williams famously comes in game two, yeah.
Yeah, I'm still not totally sold on Missoula's rotations, substitutions. I'm kind of with the caller. I'm kind of done with Al Horford. I think he's a liability for the most part out there, and he's in that Joe Judge world of what is it you'd say you do that's positive around here the last couple years. And Rob Williams, I know he's had his ups and downs, and there's been games in this series where he was a big minus in terms of the plus minus, but I'm kind of with the caller. I'd rather see Rob Williams on the floor with the game on the line.
Tim out in Chicopee, Western Mass, checking in with a similar question. Hi, Tim.
Hey, guys. Great show. Oh, that guy just stole my thunder.
It's good to know, though. It's good to know, Tim. Other people are asking the same question, though. Like, Rob Williams has been playing great defense. What is this whole... What was it? Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. Didn't Joe Mazzulla say earlier in the series, because Al Horford always plays the end of the games, like, is it written? Is it in his contract? Like,
yeah.
Is it manifest that he has to be the guy in at the end of the game? Like, because look how close they came to getting burned permanently last night
I'm watching. Al Horford is gassed, number one. And the caller, the previous caller, just made a great point. Yeah, he was intimidating the hell out of Jimmy Butler, right? And so I'm watching it, and I'm like, okay, he banged up his left wrist, you know, 10 minutes ago. But I'm like, does he forget that he plays on the team? I was literally saying that to myself. And I'm with you that you made the point about his rotations and you know, managing the bench. Yeah, it's called coaching, which means he's not very good at it. Hey, my final thing, and I want your thoughts on it, then I hang up. That three point foul shooting with Jimmy Butler. Mm-hmm. I thought it should have been a non-call. He knows he's running out of time. He throws his legs. He goes sideways and crashes into Horford. Right? I don't even know why Horford was covering the guy. That was just totally crazy. But I'd like to see you guys taking that. I thought that should have been a non-call. It was so close to a flop. Hey guys, love the show. Enjoy the weekend.
Thank you very much, Tim. Appreciate the call. Thanks for the kind words as well. Yeah, I've watched the slow-mo on that time and again this morning, Andy. And 1 minute, I think it looks like Horford does foul him. Legitimately, sometimes you could think, well, you know, the star is going to get the benefit of the doubt. And if anyone's going to get the call, especially if he flops or throws himself in the air, which he did, Jimmy Butler's going to get the call. And then the next minute, it just looks like basketball. Like, when should you give the star the call? And when do you just, quote, let him play? I know that's why these guys get the big bucks. If it was Eric Lewis on the court last night as opposed to Zach Zarba's crew, No way Jimmy Butler gets that call.
Well, if it was Eric Lewis, we could get a response from, what was his fake Twitter account name? We would get him
the burner account that's been defending him and the Celtics all postseason
since
long.
Since deleted. Yeah, it's a tough situation. I would love to see that a non-call. I think we're all looking at that through green sunglasses to some degree. I think if it were the exact opposite and that were Jason Tatum taking that shot, we'd all be saying that has to be a foul there. He has to get the three free throws. So I think Jimmy Butler's a star. He deserves calls in this league.
Yeah.
If you're going to treat stars a certain way and you get an old stiff defender on him in that situation, I think it's probably going to go to the offensive guy.
617-779-7937. It is high noon. We have to pay some bills and flip the script. We got one more hour coming up. Talking Game 6, getting ready for Game 7. Unbelievable. The sun is shining on Celtics Nation today after the improbable win from Derek White's putback with 0.2 seconds left. People are culpable. People are capable. And we got one more hour here with you. It's Fitzy. It's Hart. It's you. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
This Friday, June 2nd, the Greg Hill Roadshow circles back to the heart of the hub. Stop number 4. The Samuel Adams Boston Tap Room at Faneuil Hall. Blow off work on Friday morning and come join us from 6 to 10 as we broadcast from the roof deck with special guests Andrew Raycroft, Ty Law, and the new governor of the Commonwealth, Maura Healey. This week's Greg Hill Roadshow is brought to you by Sam Adams. Born and raised in the great city of Boston and the official beer of the Boston Red Sox.
Save $1,500 this month on the ultimate paint job. I'm Matt.
I'm Pat. We own Rhino Shield of New England, America's leading permanent paint brand.
Rhino Shield ceramic coating is far more durable than a traditional paint job. The proof is the radio test.
The radio test?
Yes, we've been on the radio for over a decade. That means Rhino Shield has been on homes in New England just as long. And today, that first house we painted looks just as good as the last.
You're right. The only way to stay on the radio is to deliver your promise. And Rhino Shield promises the ultimate paint job.
Delivering on our promise is why Rhino Shield has been rated A+ by the BBB for over a decade.
But again, the best evidence are years of durable results on thousands of homes across America.
If you keep painting your house year after year, this time call Rhino Shield and get the ultimate paint job.
And get our summer special. Schedule your job before June 30th and save $1,500.
Call 888-90-RHINO today.
888-90-RHINO.
Rhino Shield. Don't paint, don't vinyl, go Rhino.
These are emails filling your employees' inboxes, downloads beaming from device to device, and any one of them could be a cyber attack. Is it possible to keep your small business safe? It is with Comcast Business Security Edge. It helps keep your connected devices protected, and you can monitor threat activity in real time. So this
security threat
is the last thing you need to worry about. With Comcast Business, advanced security isn't just possible, it's happening.
Get started with fast speeds and advanced security for $39 a month for 12 months with no annual contract. Plus, ask how to get up to a $500 prepaid card with a qualifying bundle. Call or go online today to learn more. Offer ends 6/21/2023. Restrictions apply. Requires paperless billing and automatic payments. New 50 megabits per second internet and security edge customers only. Equipment, taxes, and other fees extra and subject to change. After promo, regular rates apply.
Hey, it's Rob Bradford. For 10 years now, the good people at Gould's Distinctive Clothing in Acton have been outfitting me, my family, and friends. Gould's is celebrating 88 years on Route 2A in Acton with 20% off knits and sweaters and 10% off spring merchandise. Take 75 to a...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.